Dear fellow doormats, yes, doormats, Fußtücher, Luther says. The thing muddy shoes are wiped on, the rag that shoes are shined with, it's to my fellow doormats that I must speak this morning. So if there happen to be any boot stompers, foot wipers, or shoe shinies in the congregation this morning, I ask that you continue to quietly read your small catechism until you hear the organ introducing our hymn. This message is for doormats. Because Saints Simon and Jude, whatever they were and are to tanners and hopeless causes, they are certainly the perfect patrons for doormats like you and me. When life is in jeopardy, when our earthly goods are at stake, when shame and disgrace and grief and sorrow are heaped on top of us by the devil, when we want to cry out, "I just don't know what to do anymore," when we're so mistreated that we feel like no one could be more wretched than the poor Christian who simply tries to keep Christ's commandments and do his will, then, Luther says, we begin to find out who we really are. It hurts to be everybody's doormat. Were Simon and Jude apostolic doormats? I wonder. Blessed by their parents with the first and fourth most popular names in their world, Simon and Jude do more to obscure than to reveal their identities. The one and only time Jude, and in Greek, remember, there's only one name, Jude, Judah, and Judas are all just Judas. So the one and only time our Judas manages to get a word recorded by an evangelist, he's identified as Judas, no, not that one. Memorialized forever by the portraits of the evangelists, Simon and Jude are the ones at the edge of the photo whose faces are so blurred and shadowed that you can no longer make them out. So little is remembered of them that they don't even each get their own day, don't even each get a verse of hymn 518, and the verse they share is verse 28. History, even sacred history, the very pages of the New Testament tell us more about Simon Magus and Judas Iscariot than they tell us about these two members of our Lord's 12. But that's still quantum leaps of honor and recognition beyond what you and I get, isn't it? Does a single evangelist mention you by name? The one who fixed the times and places of our births made sure that you and I would not have the chance to look into the eyes of our Lord, to hear his voice, to feel his touch, to sit around the table with him and ask him our questions. And will the day of our death be commemorated, remembered by anyone? And yet the one shred of the life of Simon and Judas that's given to us, the one word that has echoed from their lives down into ours, joins us together into an eternal fellowship of doormats. For Judas, know not that one's question, is our question. Lord, what could possibly have happened? What state of affairs has brought it about that? How is it that? Why are you going to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Brothers and sisters, it's practically the eve of the one day of the year when we Lutheran doormats try to shake ourselves out and look our best before the world. Though doormats still, we try to convince the world that we're his doormats after all, that we are the ones who heard, who believed, who got it right, who reformed, or better, were reformed into his likeness, into his image, his one true visible manifestation on earth. And now, Judas, know not that one, comes along. Judas, who should be our patron, and he asks this question, which is really two questions. And we find ourselves haunted, tricked, not treated, wondering, why us? And why us alone? For on the one hand, we would really prefer that he chose the smart and the powerful and the wealthy, people who could really do something for his cause, to manifest himself to. And on the other, it would sure make life easier for all of us if he would just manifest himself to the whole world all at once. No, Judas, Judas, you worry too much, comes from the mouth of our Lord. Just an answer worthy of us doormats. Names, faces, identities, ours that is, all disappear. Our Lord will only speak of someone, anyone. Because what must define this person is neither name, nor face, nor office, nor title, but action. Yes, his own actions. We must be as faceless as Simon and Jude if the Son's face, if his image, is to shine through. And it's him that the world needs to see, so that seeing him, they can see the Father, so that knowing him, they can know the Father who sent him, and knowing the Father who sent him, have eternal life. But why through us, and through us alone? Because there simply is no other way. If God is love, how can you say that God is there where love is not? If Christ is the Word of God, how can you say that he is here where the Word is neither honored nor cherished nor obeyed? Can you see Christ in the things people know about him? Is his presence made visible and tangible by what people say they believe about him? He who took on flesh so that he could love and obey continues to make himself visible through these same things: love and obedience. Faith comes by hearing, that's true, but if the proclamation is made like lines spoken in a drama, the gospel is little more than theater makeup, and office little better than costume. That is the stuff of noisy gongs and clanging cymbals. If none of the word has been kept, what is there to share with anybody else? This Jesus, the one who is speaking, whose life was and is and ever will be the perfect incarnation of thy will be done, this Jesus, whose love set the standard by which love would henceforth be judged, makes his presence manifest, makes his life shareable, where love and obedience prevail. But doormats, hear this. If anyone loves me and keeps my word, this Lord says, if this is ever true of a person, it will most certainly be also true that my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make with him our dwelling place. We could hardly believe it for joy when our Lord Jesus told us that he was going to prepare a place for us and to dwell in his Father's house. Now when we ask him, "But if you give us your room, where are you going to stay?" He responds, "With you, of course, right here and right now." He who came to dwell among us makes of us the temple of the Most High, his tabernacle and castle, as Luther says. He is our guest, and we are his inn and dwelling place. From doormat to dwelling place. Brothers and sisters, we find in Simon and Jude kindred spirits and patron saints, not because we are joined together by an unbreakable bond of self-pity, rather because we have never desired any glory but Christ's, never hoped for the world to see any face but his, never prayed they would remember any name but Jesus, yes, that one. I pray that you will let Judas's question haunt your thoughts and possess your prayers on this call day and during all the days leading up to Reformation Day. Solus nobis, to us alone, in us alone. There is a people who can claim that. Can we be that people? Can we be the place where love reigns supreme, where obedience is joy, where the Father shines through the face of the Son in our every act, word, thought? If only we could be so reformed this year. Please, Father, love us. Please, Paraclete, remind us. Please, dear Jesus, make yourself at home in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.